Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Hope your Thursday is going well. It's Thursday, June 8th, 2023, right here on EWTN. We have a busy morning and great guests as usual. We have the one, the only, Father Mitch Pacwa joining us on Cultural Connections. There are some pretty incredible stories that are out there with this whole transgender agenda, which we've been covering a lot the last couple of weeks and months, actually, because of some developing and breaking stories. But there's a new study that came out of Europe. And what's so important about this particular study is that it wasn't done by, let's say, a religious or conservative think tank or outlet. It was actually done by someone in the, and I say industry because it is an industry and money has a lot to do with what's driving this whole transgender ideology. It was done by someone who's very involved in all of these surgeries, so-called surgeries, right? Showing that when the people have this mutilating surgery, that they're no happier than they were before. And this is coming out of, again, people who are inside the industry. And you've probably been seeing some of the stories, and there's a really good report on this on Catholic News Agency this morning, CatholicNewsAgency.com, regarding Matt Walsh and his What is a Woman video that came out last year that they put out for free for a little while, something like 177 million plus views already. But in addition to that, Walsh has also released a breaking story regarding one of his producers who called up and was able to get a quote-unquote consultation about a surgery, admitting to this nurse or this other person who was on the other side of the conversation, basically saying, well, you know, I really don't have a long-standing dysphoria. I certainly haven't had gender dysphoria for 6 months, which is what is required in order to even qualify for the so-called surgical procedures. And so here you have this admission on these people saying, well, we're still going to get you the surgery. We're still going to write you a letter in order for you to be able to get it paid by an insurance company, pushing this stuff through this serious, it's, how do you even describe it? And Father Mitch Pacwa has some real deep insights into this. So I want to share these stories with him, and we'll discuss coming up at 15 minutes past the hour. And these are the types of stories that you can share with folks who just think, oh, this is just so we have to love people and let them do what they think they have to do. We have to give people truth. You can love them, but we have to share the truth with them. Of course you have to love them, but you have to love them enough, right, to help them understand what's happening and share the information. You can't tell a person what to do. That is up to them. It's between them and God, whether they accept what you're giving them. But at least you can try to plant some seeds. And we'll discuss that with Father Mitch coming up. And then we're going to take a look at this issue of free speech and what's been happening with attacks from the Biden administration on Christians and other conservatives. Dan Schneider, who's a VP for Media Research Center Free Speech America, did a recent study finding that the Biden administration is using a Department of Homeland Security anti-terrorism grant program to target Americans with conservative and Christian beliefs. So we'll take a look at that with Dan Schneider as we wrap up a Thursday morning edition of the program here on EWTN. Now, the weather is very interesting. There's a lot of issues with poor air quality around the country because of severe wildfires that are up in Canada. It's really affecting a lot of states. So I'll have some stories in the news about that as well. But for the weather forecast itself, widespread smoke from Canadian wildfires continuing to bring hazardous air quality levels across the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic, including major metro areas along the I-95 corridor. Locally heavy showers and thunderstorms isolated severely may develop across the Northern Rockies and High Plains. So that's what we're looking at this morning. And again, we'll have more news on that coming up in just a few minutes. Speaking of the news, it's already 4 minutes past the hour. So let's get started with some good news. The Holy Father is doing well, as you'll hear, after his surgery yesterday. Here we go. Well, as we just mentioned, good news out of Rome. The surgeon who operated on Pope Francis yesterday afternoon telling reporters the operation went ahead without complications and the Pope is doing great. He's alert and in good spirits.
The surgery was on his abdomen and was not considered urgent. A Vatican spokesman says the procedure was planned by the Pope's medical team because of a hernia that has been giving the pontiff recurring pains. There were no reported complications. The Pope was reported to have been awake and working not long after the three-hour operation.
Answering questions put to doctors by reporters present at the briefing, they said that such an operation usually requires about 7 days in the hospital for recovery. They noted that due to the Holy Father's age, they will take all the precautions necessary and decide in the coming days how to manage post-surgical recovery. Matteo Bruni, the director of the Holy See Press Office, who was coordinating the briefing, confirming an earlier announcement that all papal audiences will be suspended until the 18th of June. The doctor is reiterating that both during this procedure and the last procedure in 2021, nothing malignant was found, nor were other pathologies or illnesses revealed. We mentioned this earlier. The one-year-old What is a Woman documentary has amassed, as Catholic News Agency explains, more than 177 million views in less than a week on Twitter. Despite pushback from transgender activists, the documentary has had enormous success since that film was offered on Twitter at the beginning of the month. The documentary, which stars popular culture and political commentator Matt Walsh and is distributed by the Daily Wire, tackles questions related to the transgender movement, specifically diving into the question posed in the title, What is a Woman? Over 100 South Carolina churches are separating from the United Methodist Church. A move was approved during the 2023 South Carolina Annual Conference. Now 113 churches there will separate. They say they can no longer be United Methodist churches because the denomination has not upheld its doctrine prohibiting same-gender weddings. The churches making the move will no longer be affiliated with the denomination as of the end of this month on June 30th. Richard Stelling tells us more charges are possible for the suspects in Richmond High School's graduation shooting.
The 19-year-old is due back in court in 2 weeks. Police say he opened fire Tuesday in a park across the street minutes after the ceremony ended, targeting an 18-year-old. That student and his stepfather were killed. Several more were injured in the panic and chaos. In the light of the tragedy, all schools in the district are closed today and tomorrow for what would have been the last day. The same applies for other graduations and events planned this week.
New York Mayor Eric Adams pleading residents with residents to stay indoors.
We're encouraging New Yorkers to stay home indoors tonight and tomorrow whenever possible, especially our vulnerable New Yorkers. All New Yorkers should limit outdoor activity to the greatest extent possible.
He made those comments yesterday as Canadian wildfire smoke is creating poor air quality conditions across more than a dozen states. He also said Wednesday that air quality in the city was the worst it's been since the 1960s, noting that conditions could be improved by tomorrow, but adding that the smoke predictability that far out is low. Meantime, local officials extended an air quality health advisory to last throughout the day. And meanwhile, smoke from wildfires in Canada is causing air quality alerts to be issued in southeastern Michigan as well. Those alerts mean for some people it's not safe to be outside for long periods of time. This is the first time the alerts have been issued due to smoke. The Air Quality Action Day advisory was put in effect yesterday and also runs through the end of the day today for the Great Lakes State. Former Vice President Mike Pence speaking with CNN about his campaign for the presidency. Last night, he spoke at the Republican presidential town hall and told voters it's time to rethink the criminal justice reform system and bring harsher penalties down on offenders. When asked about the investigation into former President Trump, Pence said he hopes the Justice Department thinks better of indicting him, arguing it would be just too divisive for the country. The suspect in the murders of four University of Idaho students is trying to keep cameras out of the courtroom during his trial. Attorneys for Brian Koberger are arguing cameras during the trial could result in prejudicial publicity. Several media organizations are asking the judge to allow cameras to record the trial. They argue the trial will be covered even if cameras are not allowed. The judge has not issued a decision on whether cameras will be allowed. The trial is set to begin in October. And Fox News is claiming former host Tucker Carlson violated his contract with the network by launching his own Twitter show. Axios reports a company notifying Carlson's lawyers by letter on Wednesday. His attorneys telling the outlet that any legal action by Fox would violate his First Amendment rights. Carlson, who had been Fox's top-rated primetime host, was let go in April, the first episode of his new Twitter show debuting earlier this week on Tuesday. And CNN CEO Chris Licht is stepping down.
The Hill reports the news was announced to staffers during the network's morning editorial call. This comes after the network hosted a town hall with former President Trump that drew backlash from critics. It also comes after The Atlantic released a profile story on Licht that documented his views on CNN's coverage and his attempts at winning over staff members during his first year at the network.
Ads could be coming to Amazon's Prime Video service. The Wall Street Journal reporting the tech giant considering an ad-supported tier for its streaming platform. A discussion's coming as Amazon has laid off tens of thousands of workers very recently. Prime Video is currently available to customers who pay $14.99 each month for Amazon's Prime membership or $8.99 per month on its own. The Wall Street Journal says Amazon is considering charging existing Prime subscribers much more for an ad-free option. Almost 11 minutes past the hour. Do hope your day is going well. As soon as we take a break and we come back from that break, we're going to be chatting with Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN, of course. We do a segment, or two segments actually, every Thursday called Cultural Connections, and we're continuing our discussion on the whole transgender agenda and ideology based on some pretty shocking stories that have just been released, including a study by someone in the industry itself claiming that the so-called transitioning surgeries don't help the people having them when all is said and done. And then we'll be wrapping up a Thursday morning with Dan Schneider, VP of MRC, Media Research Center Free Speech America, about a recent study showing how they found this current administration is using Department of Homeland Security folks to target Americans with conservative and Christian beliefs. So we'll talk about that with Dan Schneider. Weather-wise, let's take a look at the forecast if you're just tuning in. Widespread smoke from Canadian wildfires continuing to bring hazardous air quality levels across the Northeast to Mid-Atlantic and some Midwestern states as well. And that includes major metro areas along the I-95 corridor. Locally, heavy showers and thunderstorms, isolated, some severe, may develop across the Northern Rockies and High Plains. That's a look at the weather and a rundown for today. Stay tuned. The one, the only, Father Mitch, up next on a Thursday.
If it's central to the faith, you can find it on EWTN Podcast Central, featuring the best of EWTN radio, as well as faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates across the nation, all in one place, all free. The destination for great Catholic audio programming is EWTN Podcast Central. It's like podcast heaven. Visit EWTN.com/radio/podcasts today.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Fund. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Catch up with Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN Radio and TV. We've been talking a lot the last few weeks on our Cultural Connection segment about this the really just horrific situation going on with this transgender agenda being pushed on us and grooming children and people who are having these mutilating surgeries, not being happy after they're done after all. And that's exactly what a new study that came out earlier this month out of Europe is showing us. Gender-affirming surgery leaves people lonelier and depressed, study by Transgender Surgery Department chairman finds. And Father, I just want to read you a few of these lines from this study, because it's just so obvious that you can't mess with Mother Nature, as an old, Marjorie used to talk about. The head of a facility that carries out so-called gender-affirming care has published a study confirming that transgender surgeries do not improve mental health and make people feel lonelier than those who avoided surgical intervention altogether. In our study, the level of life satisfaction in transgender people was not increased in transgender people who had undergone so-called, this is what they call it, gender-affirming surgery, as compared to those who were unoperated on, says a study published recently in a peer-reviewed scientific journal. Our data indicated that transgender and gender-diverse people who have undergone gender assignment surgery feel lonelier than transgender-identified people who have not elected to have the surgery. The researchers also revealed that people who identify as members of the opposite sex experience greater isolation if they played sports, blah, 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 and they go on to a little bit more. But at the end of the day, what this study is saying is that going through this type of surgery is not going to help in terms of you coming out on the other side saying, oh, this is going to answer all of my problems. So just your thoughts on this, Father, because this is another example of how you don't mess with God's design.
Well, here's a couple of issues going on. One, we have a number of folks who want to deal with psychological difficulties. And I don't want to diminish the difficulty certain people may feel about their gender identity. Mm-hmm. They feel this very strongly, and it's obviously very painful for them. Mm-hmm. And that the approach by saying, okay, just change your sexual organs and give you hormones, that physical change will make it all better. And in fact, it goes so much further that they try to create panic among parents and children, that if you don't get to the right gender, your doctor was wrong. I'm a teacher. I know what you're going through, and the doctor didn't understand your gender when you were when you came out of the womb, and so they got it wrong. But you're good, and I want to affirm you. I said, first of all, your degree in psychology, your degree in medicine, what kind of expertise do you have to make this kind of determination as to how best treat my child when you are not even allowed to give them an aspirin? Mm-hmm. You don't have any expertise. And to jump immediately to a physical change is as much a philosophical point as it, as a matter of fact, it's more of a philosophical point of view about how people get fixed than it is anything to do with the medicine. For instance, it's not only the psychological disorders that occur and discomfort after gender transforming surgeries and hormone treatments, but it's the reduction in life expectancy, apart from suicide, mm-hmm. just on the physical level, is a 50% decrease in life expectancy. This is why people who are in science and who are not, trying to make money off of this, as one doctor, even said, hey, this, a lot of money to be made in this kind of surgery. This is absurd. And to ignore these physical disorders afterwards and psychological disorders is to ignore, as you said, the way God made us. But it's something that goes to every single cell. Mm-hmm. Every cell in our bodies indicates our sex, whether it's XY or XX. And if you are giving all kinds of hormones that have this incredibly complex relationship to the rest of your body, and you put those the endocrinology system in disorder, it's not, of course you're going to have more physical and more psychological disorder in your life. It's not going to be a solution. Whereas some of these teachers are teaching or acting as if the human person is a piece of clay that you can just mold and fashion, rather than this incredibly complex system. And the endocrinology system, dealing with hormones, is one of the most complex.
Yeah. The article, by the way, is from the Daily Signal. Just let me read you a few more lines. It picks up on exactly what you were saying here, Father. We're talking with Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN and our Cultural Connections on a Thursday. The latest conclusions come as no surprise to experts. This finding is sadly consistent with other studies. This is Mary Beth Waddell, Director of Federal Affairs for the Family Research Council. She says one study showed the suicide completion rate for those that had undergone surgery was 19 times higher than the general population, which you've alluded to many times, Father. And they also said in the same article, a study taken in transgender-friendly Sweden concluded, and this is in transgender-friendly Sweden, persons with transsexualism after sex reassignment have considerably higher risks for mortality, suicidal behavior, and psychiatric morbidity than the general population.
Yeah, well, this, as a matter of fact, this is how the studies were done in Sweden, where they started the transgender surgeries back in the early 1960s. So they had long-term groups of patients to study. We are dealing with fairly short-term, because it's not been as widespread for as long in this country as it was in Sweden. They had the people to study, and they have stopped doing the transgender changes in children because they saw the horrible results that they didn't intend. I'm sure they intend, and I'm sure the folks who are promoting the transgender changes are trying to be, you know, very sweet. They're really trying to be nice. They're trying to help people. I don't doubt that. But that doesn't stop the fact that you are messing people's lives up, maybe inadvertently, but it's still happening.
I think some people think they have good intentions. Then you've got this whole movement, Father, this whole agenda out there where they really want to put pressure on people to force us to accept this agenda.
Well, there is, and this is something that I think is very important. There are different levels of understanding what's going on. There's some people who would be very, very opposed to harming anybody, and they just think that they're doing what's good. Whereas there are other folks who I am convinced are encouraging people to volunteer to sterilize themselves, because see, that's one of the other things that they don't say in ahead of time. That it's not only that you become incapable of conceiving and bearing children or siring children, but you also are dealing with, you know, ongoing physical problems, often in the genitalia and the reproduction system, that last a long time and makes it impossible even to have any kind of intimacy in that area. That so then that's part of the increased isolation, while they would be hoping to have more, you know, comfort with who they are, with their identity and all, they end up not being able to relate to other people in the physical relationships. For many of these folks, becomes impossible and further isolating them.
Yeah. Talk more with Father Mitch Pacwa about another story that's developing in terms of just how easily the transgender industry, and it is an industry, is approving these surgeries. More on that coming up. It is a Thursday morning. Father Mitch Pacwa joins us. We'll have more in about 2 minutes. Stay tuned.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
In the church, we speak of seven gifts: wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, loyalty, courage, and reverence or fear of the Lord. When I speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and these gifts come, they give you the ability to go beyond your strength. If you're struggling to be a good person, a good member of your religion, you know it's a struggle and you don't always make it. I've been at it many, many decades and I still struggle and trip and fall and have holes in my socks. Struggling to be a good person, something that we need help at. And this help comes to us by these gifts of the Holy Spirit.
EWTN, live truth, live Catholic.
How does man fulfill his vocation? Through life in the Holy Spirit, the Catechism tells us. This life is made up of divine charity and human solidarity and is offered as salvation. Man's great dignity is rooted in his creation in the image and likeness of God. It is fulfilled in his vocation to divine beatitude. It is by our own actions, doing good and avoiding evil, freely chosen acts, that man conforms to the good promised by God. Human beings make their own contribution to their own interior growth, the Catechism tells us. With the help of grace, man can avoid sin and grow in virtue. It is Christ who reveals the mystery of the Father and his love for man, thus making man fully manifest to himself and bringing to light his exalted vocation. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Bottom of the hour, just about 28 minutes past hour. Welcome back, Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Check us both out online, EWTN.com, of course, and AveMariaRadio.net. Father Mitch Pacwa with us on Thursday for our cultural connections, talking about this whole transgender industry, and it is indeed an industry. Father, another story, pretty shocking, but I guess we shouldn't be shocked. This is from Matt Walsh, who did a lot on this issue, where he had one of his producers actually get into a video call with, I guess it was a nurse, talking about getting the so-called transitioning surgery and basically telling her, well, you know, I really haven't had dysphoria for several months at all, when you have to have it according, I guess, to the requirements to get the surgery and get it paid for by an insurance company. You have to have been diagnosed for at least 6 months with gender dysphoria. But she was all about getting him this approval letter to make sure he could get it done anyway. So basically what they're doing is they're just rubber stamping these surgeries.
Well, this is what I mentioned early when we were talking about this. At least I know of two doctors who have admitted how lucrative this is. One doctor said these transgender surgeries are funding our department. He works at a university hospital where they do a lot of research, and he said this is funding our whole department. So it's very lucrative, and they make a lot of money, and This is also something that is helping Planned Parenthood, because Planned Parenthood is not making as much money off of abortions, since many states are now able to ban abortion. And as a matter of fact, the good news about that, little side point, in Alabama, adoptions have gone very high. People who've been waiting to adopt for a long time are now able to have children because they're not being aborted. But that's a good news point, and I don't think it's only Alabama. But since they can't do abortions, they're now one of the they are a nationwide distributor of the hormone treatments, and the medical industry that, you know, the part of it that does focus on money-making. I mean, the majority of doctors I know love their patients, and they want to take good care of them. But there are some, especially when it gets into industry-like situations, they're there to, I'm afraid, to make a good deal of money. So what's been going on is they are able to give these hormones for the rest of life, because that's part of it too.
Right.
You need to get these hormones for the rest of life. You can't stop, because your body, you know, my body would not produce estrogen, and your body would not produce the testosterone needed. This is, you know, the way that we're made. So this is going to be an ongoing business for them. And I think that that affects the kind of decision-making that takes place.
But, Father, how long is this going to go on before? I mean, so many people are being, their lives are being just destroyed by this.
Well, one of the, a minister friend of mine made a great point to me a couple weeks ago, that for every point that you increase fear, you reduce intelligence by 5 points. Mm-hmm. And if you make people afraid that, well, if you don't let your son or daughter get that surgery and do that, they're going to die, they're going to kill themselves. Well, you make people afraid, and they make decisions that are not well thought out. I think part of it is going to be a need for increased work on informing people about what is actually going on before you make this kind of decision.
Mm-hmm. But how do we get the word out if we're the only ones and other conservative outlets covering this kind of a story and these kinds of developments?
That's all we can do. Mm-hmm. All we can do is let them know that this is, there's nothing else. We have to be like Paul Revere. Now, he did some good. It affected just a few hundred people, but he got to Concord before the British did. And informing the few people he did started something called our nation. Well, we that's all we can do. The medical people, like, I encourage anybody to check the website of Dr. Quentin Van Mater. Dr. Van Mater is a pediatric endocrinologist who has studied this scientifically. He knows his stuff. People within his field stifle him. And the pro-life pediatric association that he is part of, he's the past president of it. And that site has been hacked by the federal, we don't know by whom. The federal government won't research who hacked it. But they're attacked, and they are silenced and so on, but they're still out there trying. Our support for the pro-life pediatricians and the ones who have this kind of care for everybody is extremely important.
Yeah, I think, too, as I was saying at the top of the hour, we have to put the information out there as best we can. Share these articles, share the studies, and especially when you have a study. And I know that Father Spitzer, another Jesuit, wonderful Jesuit like you, did a wonderful book and took all secular studies to back up church teaching. And it's out there. We just have to be able to point it to people and to show them, look, this is not okay. I mean, it doesn't mean that it's wrong if it's from a conservative outlet, but they're not likely to listen to it if it's from a religious or a conservative entity or research center. They're more likely to listen to maybe this transgender person in Germany who actually looked at this information and put out this study. So we share it, and then we just have to pray. We just have to plant the seeds, because we can't can't change people. That's up to them.
No. There's only so much we can do, but we can do a little bit, and that's fine. That's as much as we can handle. And you know, it's time for us just to keep on, doing what we can about the importance of these issues. You know, and even if it is, sounding like we're just riding through the dark streets of Lexington and Concord, we'll do it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all we can do. And we have to remember what St. Teresa of Calcutta had said, that, you know, God doesn't command us to be successful, but to be faithful. We will simply be faithful doing what we can and let other people know this is what our Lord is asking of them too.
Amen, and that we love them too. Father, thanks so much. Great discussion. Really appreciate it. Our very own Father Mitch Pacwa joining us as he does every Thursday on Catholic Connection for our cultural connections. And keeping with the cultural theme, up next, the Media Research Center, Free Speech America, a very interesting study on what the current administration is doing to Catholics and other Christians. We'll be right back.
For Christians, love was central to everything, because before the creation of the universe, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit lived in all eternity, communicating in love between themselves. This is going on before there's ever a moment that we refer to as in the beginning. So Christianity introduces into the history of human thought this idea that love is underneath it all. In fact, Luke Berry, this atheist philosopher writer, says, it's quite clear that without this Christian belief that love is at the center of things, we would not have our human rights revolution that we talk about today. We take this for granted. You know, we have gay rights and women's rights and transgender rights and minority rights and this right and that right. There'd be no rights whatsoever without the incarnate Son of God.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays at 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
The following is a medical moment.
Hi, I'm Bobby Schindler, brother of Terry Schiavo. Most people would be surprised to know that diagnostic testing standards for brain death diagnosis are not mandated in the U.S., and they vary greatly by state and hospital. Even among the leading neurological hospitals in the U.S., there are major differences. Studies show that up to 40% of people are misdiagnosed as brain dead, who are in fact conscious to some level with the potential to recover. In the 1960s, it became apparent that there were too few organs available for transplant recipients, and the brain death diagnosis was created. Now the number of those diagnosed brain dead has increased every year. Between 2012 and 2016, the brain death diagnosis increased by nearly 25% in the U.S. and now accounts for one in every 50 hospital deaths. A brain death diagnosis also means that all treatment stops because the person has been declared dead. This allows clinicians to remove life support, food and water, and harvest the person's vital organs.
This medical moment brought to you by MyLifeAngels.com.
Catholic Connection, grateful for the EWTN airwaves so we can talk to folks like Father Mitch Pacwa, as we just did, about the transgender agenda, and also with Michael Morris, director of MRC Free Speech America, regarding what's happening with the Biden administration and continued attacks on Catholics and other conservatives. Michael, this is very disheartening and actually very frightening. So tell us what you found in terms of the survey, the report that was done by MRC.
Sure. I mean, this is absolutely terrifying stuff. We were just talking about it there before we started the program. Thank you for having me on, by the way. But, yeah, it's crazy what's going on in the Biden administration. Biden's DHS is actually weaponizing a terrorism task force to target Christians, conservatives, and Republicans, and it's doing so with $40 million in taxpayers' dollars. The program is actually called the Targeted Violence and Terrorism Prevention Program. Let's hear that again, the Targeted Violence and Terrorism Prevention Program. So it's an anti-terrorism program that is actually being aimed at Christians, conservatives, and Republicans. Outrageous stuff.
And this is being done again. I just want to repeat what you said with taxpayer dollars.
Yes, absolutely. $40 million taxpayer fund from the federal government, and it's being distributed to groups like Prevents Ohio. We actually did some digging, and we found an Ohio seminar. The seminar actually took place before the funding was given out to this Prevents Ohio program. But what's incredible is that the seminar video was actually included in the grant proposal to the Department of Homeland Security to receive funding. So, you know, they don't get off scot-free here. And in that seminar, there was a pyramid, and that pyramid included examples of what it considered the conservative or right movement in the United States of America. And it linked conservatives and Christian groups directly with militant neo-Nazis. And this was part of the grant proposal. It's outrageous. Included on this chart, it targeted CBN, which is Christian Broadcasting Network, the Heritage Foundation, one of the leading conservative organizations in the United States, Fox News, the NRA, Prager University, Tea Party Patriots, Turning Point USA, American Conservative Union Foundation, Breitbart News, and the Republican National Committee.
So what are they looking for in terms of trying to connect these conservative organizations and outlets with terrorism, basically? What are they expecting to find? Are they just trying to, this is my own opinion, as someone in the media, I think if they're trying to, when they put these things out there, that they're studying this or looking at this, it gets an image in people's minds that anyone who's even slightly right of center is a terrorist.
Well, look, this is what the left does, right? You know, if you disagree with the main narrative, with the legacy media narrative, with the left's narrative on any policy, what they try to do is they try to blackball you. And that appears to be what's going on here. But it's so much worse than that. Ordinarily, the left will try to discredit ideas or try to shut you up or shut you down. But this is another level. This is using taxpayer funds to link conservatives, link Christians, link Republicans, which, by the way, is over half of the American population, with neo-Nazis and terrorists. I mean, it is absolutely astounding what is going on in the Biden administration. And unfortunately, this just appears to be par for the course for this administration. And of course, this is the media literacy program. That's what the government's calling it. So they're trying to train folks to spot anyone, it appears, on this side of the spectrum and shut them down and link them with these radical groups. And it's truly disheartening. Again, we said this before the break, you almost have to laugh, otherwise you'll just be crying all the time.
So what happens now? I mean, how far is this going? How much more so-called work or investigating are they doing to supposedly connect these groups with, you know, terrorist organizations?
Well, look, this is just one seminar from one grant recipient that we looked at. Again, that was the Prevents Ohio program. It's at the University of Dayton. And look, 80
That's
groups.
A Catholic university, isn't it? University
it
of Dayton.
Is a private,
it's a very big
yeah,
Catholic
it's a private
school.
Catholic
yeah.
mm-hmm. university. Yes, that's correct. Yeah, 80 groups have received terrorism task force funds that we know of so far. 42 private entities and 38 public. 20 of these are government agencies related to emergency management and law enforcement. 33 are nonprofit organizations. 27 are universities. 12 of those private and 15 of those public. So this is not just Ohio. This is all across the country. And again, with $40 million in taxpayer dollars.
So what will they do with this information once they have it? Where does it go? Is it going to some system in the federal government and then they're going to pull it out during election time? What do you think? What are they doing with this information, Michael?
Well, it appears just based on this one program, we're honing in here on Dayton University, the University of Dayton, and this Prevents Ohio program. What it appears they're doing is they're again using this foil of sorts of media literacy to try to shut down conservatives, Christians, and Republicans, and paint them as neo-Nazis and terrorists in what appears to be the lead up to the 2023 and 2024 elections, to try to shut down American thought, shut down conservatives, shut down Christians, shut down Republicans, and not allow them to have a voice.
You know, it's really interesting because everything is so connected. If you look at the recent situation with Senator Tim Scott and The View on ABC, what they did to him and how they labeled him and how Joy Behar said he doesn't understand systemic racism because he believes in pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, but like that Clarence Thomas guy, the comments that she made. And then he went on The View and defended himself and really pushed back. But it was just horrific how they raked him over the coals because he's running for president and because he doesn't fit, as you said, Michael, into the legacy media's narrative of what a minority or what anyone should be if they're running for office.
Yeah, look, and, you know, he's not alone. So here's some examples that we actually pulled from the seminar. One seminar speaker actually compared former President Donald Trump to the genocidal Cambodian leader Pol Pot. Rutgers professor Alexander Hinton explained how his work documenting Pol Pot's means that he can see parallels with former President Trump, and claimed that Trump actually demonized a non-white other with quote-unquote genocide language in the same manner as Cambodia's genocidists described the Vietnamese. I mean, that's just, it's insane. The Trump derangement syndrome, it just continues on and on. But it's not just Trump anymore. Now, another speaker actually warned that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is an extremist who's similar to German Nazis. Nicole Weiderschein of Human Rights Watch was also a speaker at this seminar. She came up with an algorithm to predict genocides and said, quote, "This is also one of the deep lessons of the Holocaust. You have to listen. I noticed that the governor of Florida today said he wants to develop his own armed state force. I think we really need to listen to him and why he wants to do that, for example. I think people are giving us lots of warning signs," unquote. I mean, listen to that. I mean, comparing a Florida governor, again, to Nazis from Germany. And now he's a presidential candidate, you know.
Right.
So you've lost the argument officially when you start pointing at people and saying you're a Nazi, right?
But the whole thing there, just as with Tim Scott, is you have now, you have DeSantis, you have Tim Scott running for president along with a number of several other people who are going to be on the GOP ticket. Mike Pence just announcing this week, Chris Christie, who's a lot more moderate in terms of conservatism. But it is really targeting this for the election, for the upcoming election next year.
Yeah, it's terrifying stuff. And look, it goes even further than that. There was another speaker, Michael Lodenthal. He's actually a self-proclaimed Antifa member, and he was speaking at this Prevents Ohio seminar as well. He actually said that a lot of things we're doing are illegal. A lot of it involves breaking the law. This is a program that was okayed by DHS. DHS actually, you know, tried to downplay this and suggested, well, look, you know, quote, "The seminar was not funded, organized, or hosted by the Department of Homeland Security. Similarly, the presented chart was not developed, presented, or endorsed by the Department of Homeland Security and was not part of any successful grant application to the Department of Homeland Security. DHS does not profile, target, or discriminate against any individual for exercising their constitutional rights protected by the First Amendment." That's outrageous, because the video to this seminar was actually included in the grant application. So DHS is just blowing smoke here to try to get people off the case. But just insanity coming out of the Biden administration through this media literacy program.
Well, remember when they had earlier this year with the FBI and there was an early, yeah, I think it was, this is June now, so earlier this year, and they said that, well, that memo coming out of that Virginia office, that was just a rogue memo from one particular agent, and it's not really true. Then you come out and you find, and you guys reported on this as well, you find out that, oh, this was something, no kidding, duh, that was pretty much systematic in terms of it was going out, it was organized, and they had all these different letters and all these different, you know, people knew about it within the FBI that they were going to be targeting, especially Catholics, in terms of sending people into mass to look at particular patterns, and especially the traditional Latin mass. So this wasn't just one office, which, no kidding, but that this was going on throughout the FBI across the country.
Yeah, look, you know, the Media Research Center through the MRC Free Speech America division, we've actually obtained several other documents from other grantees that depict similar degrees of extremism, similar degrees of demonization of political opposition of the Biden administration, and calls for censorship. You know, there's a clear pattern here from the Biden administration using taxpayer dollars to attack its political opponents, be it the Disinformation Governance Board, for those of your viewers that remember that, targeting parents as terrorists, funding the Global Disinformation Index censorship machine to shut down conservatives and free thinkers in America, and now we've got the DHS TBT program. Where does it end?
Well, that's my question to you. Where does it end, and then what do we do as concerned? Everyone should be concerned about this, regardless of where you stand, you know, politically.
Absolutely, absolutely. Look, my boss here at the MRC, President Brent Bozell, actually called for criminal prosecution. He said we need to know those who are abusing their positions in federal government will be held accountable for the criminal behavior. And he called for Mayorkas to go. Rep. Andy Biggs also has called out Secretary Mayorkas. He's the Committee on Judiciary Subcommittee on Crime and Federal Government Surveillance Chairman. And he put out a letter to Mayorkas asking very pointed questions and trying to get to the bottom of this. We've got to keep the pressure on.
Yeah. And so how do we do that? How do we keep the pressure on, Michael? What's the best way to do that to you?
Yeah, reach out to your representatives. Keep the pressure on legacy media. Call them to account to uphold the First Amendment. And then you can also check us out at MRC Free Speech America on newsbusters.org and censortrack.org. If you have been censored, come to censortrack.org, send us your censorship case. A lot of the censorship cases that we've seen coming through the Twitter files, they have linked them to potential government pressure. And so this is happening all across the board, and we're gonna hold them accountable.
Michael, thanks. Appreciate the update. Really appreciate the information. Michael Morris with the Media Research Center Free Speech America on what's happening with the current government going after Christians and other conservatives, trying to silence them. And we're just letting you know what's going on so you can, as he said, keep the pressure on. Speak respectfully, of course, whenever you're reaching out to anyone, because we're Christians and we're always called to a higher standard. But we do need to let folks know how concerned we are about these and other issues. And we help you do that right here on EWTN and Ave Maria Radio, co-producers of this program. We'll be right back to wrap up on a Thursday morning. You are listening to EWTN. Stay tuned.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
Hosting Women Made New has helped me deepen my own faith, and I look forward to every weekend having those in-depth discussions with my guests. It's been such a blessing being a part of the EWTN family and carry on the mission that Mother Angelica started.
Women Made New, Saturday, noon Eastern on EWTN Radio.
What is a bromance? I'm Chuck Gatica, and this is Journey Strong. This word bromance is used by younger men to describe close friendships with other young guys. You know, the guys who man-hug and chest-bump. Let's face it, generally, women can make friends more easily than men. My wife can make a new friend coming out of the ladies' room. While this may be tougher for guys, younger men now reflect that their close male-to-male friendships are getting deeper and growing. Many guys who only seem to communicate with crude jokes to each other are now more open to sharing, being vulnerable and authentic with each other. This is likely good news for so many reasons, including emotional and mental health. Developing close male bonds includes sharing much about life. Being a good listener is a key to a strong buddy relationship, too. Check out the Journey Strong tab for more on this at the homepage of AveMariaRadio.net.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
54 minutes past the hour. It's a Thursday morning. It's already, believe it or not, June 8th, 2023. Be safe out there. And if you're in one of the states affected by the wildfire smoke and the haziness, just be careful, because if you have some existing conditions, it can be dangerous. So we'll keep you updated. And, of course, so will EWTN News Nightly and the world over and all of our wonderful news outlets. For more information, EWTN.com. Breaking story. Andrew just told me about this. I just looked it up. Here's a report on Fox News. Christian Broadcasting Network founder Pat Robertson passes away at the age of 93. Legendary Christian broadcaster Pat Robinson, who spun a local Virginia TV station into the global Christian Broadcasting Network, has died at the age of 93, the network announcing Thursday. His cause of death was not given in the announcement. He's known for his 700 Club television show that had helped make religion central to the Republican Party politics. In 1988, he even ran for president, seeking the GOP nomination, finishing in second place in the Iowa caucuses. His ways of insisting that 3 million followers across the U.S. sign petitions before he would decide to run also brought him a massive voting base. And there's a lot of history with Pat Robertson and his network. And it's just really an interesting story developing, and we pray for him and his family. Christian Broadcasting Network founder Pat Robertson dies at the age of 83. We'll have more on that developing story tomorrow. And we'll also be checking in with, of course, Doug Keck on a Friday for our Inside Word, and also looking at other issues in the news and trying to kind of give you a big picture, including Fact Check Friday, which is at the bottom of the hour every single Friday, where I kind of dissect the news and give you an inside scoop. Talk to you tomorrow. Have a great Thursday. It's June 8th. We'll talk to you on a Friday. Adamani.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.